jam. I tried to like lean into that one nice and easy so it didn't scare Clues.
Oh boy.
Hello everyone and welcome to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on twitch.tv/themanapool. This is M&M number 648 because I finally skipped enough episodes of The Manapool to where we're now 100 apart.
Okay.
Yeah. The preview episode that went up today was 548.
Nice. Are we going to try and maintain this for
not
at least
intentionally,
a week?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm Chewy.
He is.
Over there is Clues.
Hey, I am.
In the background for me is Avison and Spider-Man and various, just all kinds of crap. In the background for Clues is Cthulhu, so Clues wins.
Cthulhu is right above a ghost, so that's kind of neat. There's a little Johnny back there. Dr. Hooves is making an appearance. I don't know if you can see him.
I think I can, yeah.
But that's totally Dr. Hooves.
All right, then. So this is, like I said, Monday Night Magic number 648, and there is...
It's a Monday. We're going to talk about magic.
It is. But...
at least that's the threat.
The most important thing to happen today happened this morning, which was the Manapool got 5 preview cards that I showed off in epic fashion on Twitter.
This is absolutely true, and if folks have not seen that tweet storm on the Twitters, they should go check that out. Or even better yet, go listen to the episode of The Manapool where they talk about these cards.
Yeah, or watch the YouTube video. Because I actually after the show, I requested the full art for each of the 5 cards, and so I spliced them into the video when we're talking about the art on each card, so it's nice and cool.
Nice.
Yeah, and we did something different for our preview episode this time. We actually had Sam, Brian's daughter, who is adorable and 8, joined us to talk about them. And it was pretty cool.
Does Sam play Magic?
A little bit, yeah.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. We pulled a dirty trick, Brian and Sam and I did on Mike and Dirk, and Mike called us Dirk faces.
It's probably fair.
It was, yeah. So if you would like to find out what that was about and listen to us talk about these cards with many, many others, because it's like a 3-hour episode, then yeah, go check that out on youtube.com/themanapool, or if you prefer the audio version, themanapool.com. Okay. Those cards were, by the way, Demolish. Let me see if I can do this in order. Force Landing, Shriek Diver. I can see the art. Turret Ogre. Wait, no, I missed one. Steady Aim.
Yep, there you go. I did enjoy the Turret Ogre.
He's pretty cool. It's one of the Gruul career aspirations, is to be a catapult. It said so in the flavor text. But anyway... that's not what's important right now, unfortunately. But, hey, wait a minute. Can I show off the thumbnail I made?
Sure. I mean, I can't... you run the show. I can't stop you.
That's true. Hang on. So, here's the thumbnail that I made for those cards. Oh, wait. We're on the wrong screen. Boom! Oh, God. I didn't fix this before we started. Oh, no. I'm the worst. Boom. There we go. There's the thumbnail I made for these...
What needs fixing? I'm confused.
Oh, the Chrome thing on OBS. Don't worry about it, Clues. It's a streamy thing.
All right, cool. Yeah, I'll. It's a shame you didn't fix that beforehand. It's definitely detracting from what's going on here.
Yeah, but yeah, this is the thumbnail I made to show off the tease the cards and for the the YouTube video and whatnot.
It's pretty sweet.
Do it.
I said it's pretty sweet.
Oh, thank you.
This thumbnail here.
I was giggling when everyone was so sure it was a reprint of Crushing Vines or of Plummet or a variety of other things, because I told the Discord server, okay, one of these cards is a reprint, and everyone focused on this art, saying that, oh, this is totally the reprint right here. But no, Force Landing is a new card. Ha ha!
Yeah, sure is.
Demolish was the reprint. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we're not here. I already did a whole podcast about those cards. So let's go talk about...
new things.
This. So first off, we mentioned last week, I think it was last week, the Mythic Invitational happened. It was awesome.
It was. A rousing success by just about any metric you could possibly imagine.
Yeah, it was the most watched Magic thing ever on Twitch.
Yep, peak of 157,000 people.
Yeah, which...
That's like, a lot of people.
It is a lot of people. To give you an idea, that's about half of what any given match in the Overwatch League gets. So, you know. But anyway, it's still massive for Magic. It's easily the most watched thing ever. So that's awesome.
If I'm not mistaken, and I may be, so I apologize if this is misinformation. But I think during the stream earlier in the weekend, they had hit a record where they had broken 100,000 for the first time.
Yeah, that was on... I don't remember which day, but I remember spotting that and going, ooh.
And then they hit 157,000. So, you know, they didn't just break that record by a little bit. They smashed it.
Yes. Smash it. Anyway. Sorry. I have these fits often. So the format for that was duo standard, remember? And they're saying here, when looking at different formats, we're trying to balance several levers. We think a healthy format should reward skill, yep, be fun to watch, okay, be simple to understand and explain, and closely resemble your at-home play experience.
Right.
And they do say they don't think Duo Standard did that as well as they would like. So, it's that this won't be the final form for esports events on Magic Arena. So
they will be over 9,000.
Yes.
And I was making a final form Dragon Ball.
Yeah, and it'll take 4 episodes to get to that.
4? That, what is this, the abridged version?
No, from the time someone says, this isn't even my final form, and starts the transformation, to the time we get to see it. 4 episodes.
Yeah. Okay, so if these are their metrics, if this is what they want to do, in your opinion, where does Duo Standard fail?
I have no idea.
All right. Do you think that the format rewarded skill, since, you know, the deck you played was random in the first round?
Well, and you still had to build the deck and then know how to play it against anything you could run into.
Yeah, but I feel like the randomized nature of game one was a little weird. I mean, sure, you never know what you're going to come up against in any given round, but still... You may have a strategy you prefer game one.
You are also super opposed to change, so...
I'm trying to make conversation here. I'm trying to do some analysis. I mean, look, if you want to just go on, we can just go on. Never mind. Forget it. Forget I said anything.
Okay. Yeah, I have no idea how the Duo Standard did this, nor do I care. I enjoyed the hell out of watching every minute of it, so... Whatever. But I'm also someone who's been playing Magic for like a bazillion years. Broadcast, that's really it. It broke a record, and Duo Standard is not what they're going to go with. But, they're also going to be tweaking how they do the broadcast, but of course that's a given. And yeah, there you go. That's awesome. So hopefully they'll let us know what's going to... Do we know when the next arena thing is?
I certainly don't know it offhand.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't even know if they've announced it. I don't know. There's so many things that... To keep track of these days, that I don't know if the next thing has been announced or not. So,
now whatever. I will say one last thing about the whole Mythic Championship packs, everything that went on everything that happened with the arena thing, everything there. If you look at that picture, do you have that? Can you scroll to the picture of the hosts?
Oh, the hosts.
On this page?
Yes.
Yeah, because I know you're trying to take a drink. I had to stop you. There you go. The hosts. Here we go. So if you look carefully at this picture, and I don't know how well you can see it, but on their lapels, they have this little Planeswalker pin.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that Planeswalker pin. That is one of the Penny Arcade pins, which are a pin trading thing that happens at PAX. Those pins are sweet. And I did manage to get one, but they are absolutely awesome.
Are you wearing it?
Not at this time.
You are the worst.
Yes, we established that when I attempted to actually have some analysis and conversation about 2.0 standard, and we decided that that just wasn't going to work, and we moved on. And so I talked about pins because it was totally useless. Carrying on.
Fair enough. I mean, do you have any opinion on 2.0 standard?
Yes.
Ah, so you didn't want to have a conversation. You wanted me to talk.
No, I actually did want to have a conversation, but, you know, it's fine. It's fine.
Okay.
Everything is fine. It's fine.
Is it fine?
It's fine.
Okay. So, other than giving clues a hard time, like I said, I enjoyed 2.0 standard, and I think it was... The simple to understand and explain was the key point of 2.0 standard, right? Because you have two decks built, it's random the first game, you switch the second game, the third game you get to pick, boom. Nice and simple.
Well, except that you had to keep explaining that over and over and over again, which was one of my complaints.
Well,
but that is partially because it's new.
Well, that's also because they were reaching out to people who don't watch Magic. So that's a thing you have to say every round.
Do you want to know my real complaint about it?
Sure.
Do you really?
Sure.
I think that game 3, you should be randomly assigned one of your opponent's decks.
I think you're a goober.
Yeah, but that's what I... Look, if you're going to random, let's random. Let's actually random.
All right,
you saw
on.
Your opponent play their decks. You saw them play both decks. Now you have to try and figure out, can you do better?
All right, so that's a thing that will never happen. So let's move on.
I know, but that's what I would have done.
All right, so... What was this guy's handle? This is Eduardo Annunziata. But I can't remember which. I can't remember which guy this was. Like, the Mythic, the MPL players, they had their real names, but everyone else had a handle. I can't remember what this guy's handle was. But, this guy revealed here that, he got a message from Wizards of the Coast. He's one of the top 16 guys. In the Invitational, and he revealed that he got an email from Wizards of the Coast informing him that the entire top 16 of the Mythic Invitational would be invited to play at the Mythic Championship 2 in London. And this wasn't an original thing that they were aware of. Like, hey, if you make top 16, you're going to make it to... You'll get invited to Mythic Championship 2. So everyone in the top 16 that wasn't already invited gets to... Well, got an invite now. They don't... It seems like it's kind of short notice for a trip to London. But hey, it might not be. I don't know.
So, all depends on Brexit.
Oh, God. Or lack thereof, or something.
That's right.
But, yeah, that's cool. And it seems like it's kind of a no-brainer to invite those top 16 to the Mythic Championship, right?
It seems
right.
Like the kind of thing you'd want to do, yeah.
Yeah. One, to keep the hype train rolling, and two, to keep the hype train rolling.
I was waiting for what number two was going to be.
I couldn't come up with a second, no.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. I look forward to seeing all of those people who were able to make it.
Now, I will say... that is absolutely interesting and fantastic, particularly for the people who were in the top 16 who didn't have an invite, didn't know that they were going to go. That is absolutely neat. But I know out there somewhere right now is someone who is probably banging away on a keyboard complaining about how, oh, those bastards didn't earn their invite to the arena thing. Now they've got this for free. Why did they get that and I don't? And you know what? Look, things happen, okay? It's fine. Everything is fine.
That's what I hear, yeah.
That's what I hear, too. I'm going to say jealousy is not a good look, is what I'll say.
Not really, no. But yeah, this is really cool. And moving
also,
on.
Also, don't get stuck in a rock. A wall, really.
What about a wall? Is that okay?
Yeah, it's really a wall that you don't want to get stuck in.
All right, so next up, we have a video on the... you can't see the name, but it's on the Magic the Gathering YouTube channel called Nicol Bolas's Grand Scheme. That is a 7 minutes and 9 seconds long video narrated by... I forgot his last name.
Graham Stark.
Stark, there we go. Graham Stark from...
Loading Ready Run.
Explaining Nicol Bolas's Grand Scheme. It's the name of the video. Like I said, you can't see it on the video, but it's right.
It's right down there. It does what it says on the tin. Look, this thing is worth your time.
Yes.
Even if you are not a big like story nerd, even if Magic lore is not really your thing overall, the storyline of what's going on here in War of the Spark is so important and so, I hesitate to say monumental, but game changing. Look, it's totally worth it. Just to get caught up, just the cliff notes of what is that thing and why is it there and why do we care? This video will answer those questions. And it's well done and it's enjoyable and you should go and watch. You should watch it right now. Just pause this. You can come back unless you're watching this live, in which case I guess turn down the volume on this one and watch it and then come back and I'll still be telling you why you should listen or watch this thing. That's not true. I'm done.
Thank goodness. But yeah, now the way they're doing War of the Spark, I have seen pro player. I think it was Eric Froelich. Say on Twitter that he's never cared a tiny, not a jot nor tittle about the story of Magic. He's just interested in the cards. But the way that they're doing this set and the trailer and all of that has him like digging into it. And that's so cool. And they're really focusing on the story. Not only do we have this long explanation of Nicol Bolas's long-ass multi-year grand scheme, but we've also got this. The story scenes from War of the Spark. They're actually doing something totally different. As I said last week, or possibly the week before, or whenever, every card is being previewed on a specific day to fit into that day's scene. So each day of previews is a scene from the overall story, and they're going in order. And on this page, they're showing that. And last week when we recorded, it was Monday, so this wasn't up yet, right? Well, this one might have been. I think the first two were, but the Act 1, Scene 1 is setting up what's going on. Like, you've got the Dreadhorde army, you've got Tezzeret. I don't know why the Cruel Celebrant is here other than she's just here having a party. The Interplanar Beacon is here. Vraska is a thing. This is all set up. Act 1, Scene 2, it all happens. The Emergence Zone opens and blows apart the Chamber of the Guild Pact. Ravnica goes to war. The city gets invaded. Liliana's here. There's widespread brutality. Yes. Act 1, Scene 3. They ignite the beacon, and all the planeswalkers start showing up, and they realize it's a trap, and Johnny and Jace are here, and they're like, oh no, it's a trap, we gotta get in there. And then Act 2, Scene 1 is introducing a bunch of the planeswalkers that are here to fight. Just a bunch, look at all that, wow. And then Act 2, Scene 2 is introducing, like the mini-bosses, essentially, of the Eternal Army, right?
Right.
So we've got some of the heavier hitters on the side of the Eternals. Act 2, Scene 3, Soren and Nahiri bump into each other and ignore everything that's going on and start fighting like it's a freaking superhero team-up comic.
It may be the end of the world, but I'm going to kill you first.
Exactly. We ran into some problems trying to figure out what's going on in Act 2, Scene 4. It looks like, according to, I think it was My Name is 14, maybe, in the Discord server, the Manipool Discord server, which you should totally join, by the way, explained that because of the war, all of the guilds just sort of stop doing what they normally do and go fight. So, like, Tolsimir and Voja jump into the battle, and the Hellions aren't kept in check anymore. They're just sent out to fight. And the Spellgorger and Spellkeeper weirds escape from the Izzet Labs, and something goes on here to make Sphinxes and Goblins have a Freaky Friday thing. So this is... all the guilds stop what they usually do and go fight. And then Act 2, Scene 5... I'm not entirely sure.
Massacre Girl.
Yeah, Massacre Girl is easily the best thing ever, but Scene 5 is...
The rest of it doesn't matter, it's Massacre
Hang
Girl.
Hang on, let me go see what he said in the damn server here. We just lost Clues' camera. I know, everybody calm down.
Wait, we did?
Yes. No, not on your end. Calm down.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, because it's working for me.
The populace reacting to the war. Okay, there we go. Like, the mobilized district are all the not-named characters getting down to business, and Mizzium tanks, and this human advisor, and even the serial killer that's running loose in the city is getting to it. We think. That's the best we could come up with. I don't know. And then today's scene, which isn't up yet, but it's Act 2, Scene 6, is the aerial battle that's going on over Ravnica. All of the different guilds are fighting off airborne threats, giant eternal dragons and eternal avens, and it's very terrifying. Like, you remember Glorybringer? Imagine if Glorybringer was coated in Lazotep and charging your ass. Yeah, see, that's awful. And Feather was revealed today, and the Parhelion 2 is taken to the skies, and it's a big ass air battle, and it's awesome. And that's just the scenes thus far. We've got another, week or two to go? I think there's 3 weeks of previews, yeah. So it's a hell of a story, and this isn't even all the cards. This is just a smattering of the cards that go in each scene. There are a lot more, which you can see, boom, in the card image gallery. Because look at all that. Wow, I'm still scrolling. Okay, I'm done scrolling now. So, yeah, it's pretty awesome. I'm digging it.
It's total pandemonium.
Yes. Can we talk about Massacre Girl for a second?
I think maybe we should. I mean, look, we haven't... Are we? Do you want to just transition and just spend some time talking about individual cards now?
Is it
just Massacre Girl and we move on?
I don't know. I have to talk about Massacre Girl because I'm in love and we're going to get married and run away and kill people together.
that is fair.
Massacre Girl, for 3 black is a 4/4 legendary human assassin. She's apparently a serial killer who's running loose in Ravnica. She has Menace. A 4/4 with Menace is nothing to sneeze at.
Nope.
When Massacre Girl I'm so in love I can't speak. When Massacre Girl enters the battlefield, each other creature gets -1/-1 until end of turn. Which doesn't sound like much, but there's more. Whenever a creature dies this turn, each creature other than Massacre Girl gets -1/-1 until end of turn. Whenever a creature dies this turn, for any reason.
Just keep that death train rolling.
So
I can't help but notice that you've got yourself a 1/1 and a 2/2 and a 3/3 and a 4/4. This is Massacre Girl. They're all dead.
Well, not only that, if you've got 3 1/1s and a 4/4, guess what?
Now they're all dead.
All dead. People are comparing her to Defile and Lord Godfrey in Hearthstone, but she's better because the effect lasts the rest of the turn. So if you play Massacre Girl and then go to combat and there's a fight and something dies, she triggers again! I love her. Clues.
Yeah.
I love her.
I understand. Okay. I truly understand. I just like the confetti.
The confetti is a nice touch, yeah.
Yeah. Because if you look at the art very, very closely, she's sprinkled confetti everywhere.
Here and here.
On the people she has killed.
So, yeah, she's my favorite.
Totally fair, man.
Was there anything you wanted to jump on, Clues?
I really wanted to, you know, mention Massacre Girl, but we've already done that. So, I don't know. Let's take a look down in red. We have a new Krenko. Did you see a new Krenko?
Yeah, dude. I see all.
Really? That's slightly creepy now that I think about it. But the new Krenko, 2 and a red for a 1/2 legendary goblin. He's a rare. Whenever Krenko, his name, by the way, is Krenko Tin Street Kingpin. Whenever Krenko Tin Street Kingpin attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on it, then create a number of 1/1 red goblin creature tokens equal to Krenko's power. Nice. Very, very nice. But, you know, I like to make more goblins, particularly if they don't encounter Massacre Girl, because they're all going to die.
Yay!
No, it's the other one. I don't want dying goblins. Well, you know, I hadn't noticed that we have had Yangu actually in here. Did I miss that? Wait, was he in one of the scenes? Was Yangu in one of the scenes?
Yeah, he was in the one with all the planeswalkers.
Okay, there were so many planeswalkers, I just missed him in the shuffle there.
Yeah, Jiang Yanggu from the Global series, which wasn't a series.
Yeah, it was a series of one.
Yeah.
It was one of one.
So is that a mini series or a maxi series?
I don't even know.
Oh, no, it's a one shot. Duh.
Not One Piece?
No, One Piece is about as far from a one shot as you can get.
Okay, that's fair, I suppose. I don't really want to go deep into, you know, card analysis. I haven't had a chance to digest a lot of the previews that went up.
He's got a puppy friend.
He does have a puppy friend. This is true.
Who even lifts, bro. And eats at Chili's. You can tell because he's got a Chili's logo on his collar. He wants his baby back, baby back, baby back. I'm sorry. This is why you should be watching it live, see, because I totally had that up on screen so you could see it.
Okay, fair. Fair.
But yeah, there's so much great stuff going on in here. All the planeswalkers are all fun. And you've got the Mayhem Devil who is so happy. Wait, look at him. Look at it. He's so happy. He's gold, by the way. He's so happy! Yeah, yeah. What?
There is some absolutely amazing stuff going on in this set, from flavor and storyline and mechanics and artwork. I mean, there is just so much good stuff going on that it's such a shame that so many of them are going to die.
And we've got totally
but,
lost.
You know, that is the way of things since, you know, WotC has a habit of going, hey, look at this really cool thing we've got. Oh, Phyrexians.
Yeah.
Oh, did you go up to Fabulthup?
Not yet. No, I was showing off Totally Lost first because he's standing on top of the head of the Nicol Bolas statue. What's the damn statue called? The God Pharaoh's statue?
Yeah, God Pharaoh's statue.
Or as I think it was Mike on the Manipool called it, the Statue of Unliberty.
Ooh, that's fair.
Yeah, but yeah, he's standing on the head somehow. Not entirely sure how that happened, because he's totally lost. But yeah, then we've
got... I
gotta
say, I doubt he's entirely sure how that happened.
Yeah, then we've got Fibblethip, who we didn't bring up on the last episode of the Mantlepool, but why did they change what Fibblethip looks like here, but then on Totally Lost, he's back to looking like his old self?
Different artist.
But that's why they have style guides.
Yes, but...
Especially for a character as well-known as Fibblethip, you think someone would have been like, that's not it, could you fix that, please? Because, like, we've got plushes of him. He's shown up in, like, almost as many card arts as freaking Gerard. Like,
yeah, he looks a bit too goblin-like on this card.
A little bit, yeah.
In my opinion.
It's just amazing to me that this got through the art direction to have a completely different-looking character.
And it's not that it's bad art. I want to be clear about
that. No, the art's awesome.
It's a really good piece of art. It's just, it's not quite...
Fibblethip. Yeah. Like, it wouldn't be so bad if he was only like this here, but again, on Totally Lost, you've got the original Fibblethip right there. So, like...
You do.
What?
And if you look really, really closely on God Pharaoh's statue, you can't see him on there.
Not at all. But feel free to look really, really closely.
But look really, really closely.
But, yeah, the flavor text is on point. Like, the flavor text is usually always on point. But in this set, it seems to just be better. Maybe that's because it's all telling a story.
Yeah.
And, the art is all really awesome. Yeah, I'm super excited for this set in a way I haven't been about a Magic set in a very long time.
I feel the same way. I'm going to do everything in my power to make it to a pre-release, even though I know that I'm fighting an uphill battle with that, because there's so much going on that weekend, unfortunately.
Plus, we've got a card now called Heartfire, and I'm about a third of the way through the fourth
I took meds for that.
Of Arrested Development, and there's a character named Heartfire who speaks via telepathy and on-screen text. Remember her clues?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now she has a card. Hey, how about that?
Yeah, see, Stark, I was saying that too. I'm on meds for Heartfire.
I used to get it pretty bad, so I had a lot of Tums, and then it stopped bothering me. I don't know if I stopped eating something or started eating something or evolved. I don't know. I used to get Heartfire pretty bad, though, and now I don't.
Are you now in your final form?
I hope not. I really hope not.
Worst final form ever. Okay. Right. Yeah, should we move on?
Yeah, sure. Let's move on.
All right.
I don't remember what's next. Hang on. Let's go back to this screen.
What's next? What's next is...
Oh, the fluff.
What
was that? 10th Tech Priest just subbed for the 8th month in a row. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, I do kind of want to talk about that 10th Tech Priest, who also asked in the chat. By the way, if you're not following along in the chat, you're missing out on at least 20% of the comedy. Does Clues want to talk about today's basic land preview cards? Yes. So in the past, I have joked that I would preview any card WotC would give me, including just basic lands. Just send me basic lands, and I will talk about them in depth, and just I will analyze the crap out of them. I would love to do that. But if you read the article today from, I think it's Vorthos Mike.
It is.
I want to say his name is. He is actually previewing the basic lands, and there is absolutely no way I could do a better job. Yeah, some of the basic lines. There's absolutely no way I could do a better job than Vorthos Mike is doing. So I can't be mad, right? I saw it, I clicked on it, I started reading it, and I'm like, I want to be pissed, but this is really good. I could not have done better. So hats off to somebody. You made the right call.
I mean, he is the Magic Art guy.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely can do it way better than I can. And I am big enough to recognize that is the case. So.
So is that your final form?
No.
Do you have the article, by the way?
Yeah, let me. I had it up earlier. I had it up there, on another laptop.
It's in the chat.
I'm sorry.
Feel free to drop that in the.
There we go. I'll just copy that, and I will put it in ye olde show notes.
So here's the planes. Now I think this is the third different, because they showed a panoramic that was the basic arts, but then hang on, I closed the wrong thing. Card image gallery. There we go. So at the PAX panel, they showed a panoramic that was all of the arts. It was all pieces. You could chop it up to make it the five basic lands, right?
Yes.
But then in the card image gallery, we've got these, which are not a panoramic that you chop up.
Right.
These are completely different. In fact, they that are. Panoramic shot that they said was basic lands, I thought they did at the panel.
Yeah, I believe they did.
That's not here. And then Vorther's Bike today is showing this, which is another completely different set. So that, I guess that means there's usually three different basic land arts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the planes.
I think in some sets there have been four, but I think it's usually three.
Yeah. So here's the planes with the giant, all of these little blue rectangles and squares you see here. That's the Eternal Army in regiments here. This
is
terrifying.
Probably not good, yeah.
As Ravnica burns in the background. Like, buh! And then if we scroll down, there's this super sick island.
Yeah, you know my hatred of islands, right?
I do.
That is some sweet art.
Yeah. And it's like, this is the Immortal Sun, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty sweet. And we scroll down further, and look at all of this. This the setup for this digital art here. Good lord.
Yeah, I mean, Vorthos Mike goes and, you know, talks to the actual artists for each of these pieces to talk about, you know, a little bit of how they were made, what they were trying to accomplish with it, any challenges that they had, and it's really just absolutely riveting, every bit of it.
All right, so scrolling down. Here's the swamp. Very, very gothic and foggy and...
Very gothic.
Like, this looks like it could be from Innistrad. It's so gothic.
Yeah, I was going to say Ravenloft, but I know I'm crossing the streams there.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Then we've got the mountain here, which is just a tower.
Yeah, but what's that in the background there?
Is this the beacon, or is this just...
I don't believe this is the beacon. This is just a tower.
Okay, in the background here, you've got
left.
The Parhelion 2.
Yep.
Which is the Boros stronghold that is now up flying around and doing stuff.
That's right. Its Sacred Foundry now in the air.
This is the thing we talked about on the Mana Pool, because Demolish had art like this. And it's a big-ass tower with this thing here. And apparently all the Izzet towers have this, because Niv-Mizzet told them to put it on every tower in case he wanted to come visit. So all the Izzet towers have this. And you can see it, at least according to Mike. Mana Pool Mike, not Vorthos Mike.
Right, the other Mike.
Yeah. But anyway, we've seen a bazillion of these towers, and every one, there's someone in the chat that goes, pretty sure that's the beacon. So they might all be the beacon, they might none be the beacon. No one cares. Move on. Then we've got the forest, which is just nice and peaceful, and you'd never know that there was a horrible war going on, except for all the fires.
I'm going to say, except that everything's on fire.
Yeah. Which you can see here, and there, and there. There's smoke here, and there's smoke over there. Everything is fine.
Yep. So if you'll scroll down to the bottom, where we'll see all five of the arts in card frames. So keep going a little bit more. Yeah, there you go. So get them all up on there. So, Chewy, which is your favorite now that you can see them in card form?
The island.
Yeah, I could see that. I really could. I mean, I love mountains. I love red, but I don't think it's the strongest artwork here. I really enjoy the forest. It has a really nice feeling of at first glance. Like you said, you've got that kind of tranquility. Oh, it's a nice forest. Then you look a little closer and you're like, oh God, it's a forest that's on fire. That's pretty horrible. I think, though, the one that captures the feeling most for me is the swamp.
Yeah, definitely.
I love the artwork on the island. I want to be clear about that. The only thing holding me back on choosing the island is it's an island. That's it. And I know that's on me. That's not on you. It's on me. But the swamp, oh man, that is so, so swampy. It feels just great.
All right. So we've now spent like 10 minutes on basic lands. So
we have, and I would love to do that in future sets. Future site sets. That's fine too. I will totally talk about the lands. Send me lands. In particular mountains, but even if you send me an island, I will devote a good time to that island, and I will say very few terrible things about it. Hmm. I'm not promising none.
What is this new thing that's appeared in the show notes since we started the episode?
The thing at the very bottom, that's a thing. I'll talk about it when we get to it. It belongs down there, though, trust me.
Oh, well, I mean, we're doing fluff next, so...
Okay, well, then we'll do it after this other thing.
All right, so first up, this has come to our attention in the last few days. Oh, God, you can't see it. Hang on.
Standing by.
Do-do-do-do-do. Will this fix it? There we go. Probably now you can not. See it. So this is the Copyright Office catalog.
Yes.
And in... June of 2018, something was made with the title Magic Gathering Seasons 1 and 2 Series, a short-form license, whatever that means, between two parties, Wizards of the Coast LLC and Hasbro Studios LLC, party of the first part, and part of the second part, Netflix Global LLC and Netflix Studios LLC.
Yeah.
Meaning that, now remember, this has been here for almost a year. So this is not news, but someone just recently went digging through the copyright catalog and found it.
Apparently, and this happens from time to time. That yeah, people but usually go those like are this.
Not a year old.
No. And they're often like names of upcoming sets or products or... I feel like the mobile game that they just sort of pseudo-announced totally exists, I feel like that name was found out ahead of time. This way. Maybe? I may be wrong about that. I'm probably conflating it with something else.
Valor's Reach or the mobile...
Valor's Reach. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't remember Valor's Reach.
I may be conflating that with something else. But either way, someone has come across this and brought it to the attention of the greater public. And this is not guaranteeing that there's going to be a show on Netflix, but...
No, I think what it means is that someone was kicking around the idea and decided to go ahead and drop a copyright just in case. Because it's got Wizards and Hasbro and Netflix. And I presume that you can't just file this without someone from both parties going, sure, yeah, do whatever.
Yeah, I would assume so. I'm going to assume that the sticking point was they couldn't find somebody to direct, and I'll just say I'm available. Putting it out there.
Speaking of random things that we heard about a long time ago, you remember they were going to make a MOBA for phones using Planeswalkers as characters?
You remember they were going to make a movie? You remember that?
No, that was just the rights were optioned. This MOBA thing actually had footage.
It did?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, it had screenshots at the very least.
That does not sound familiar. Magic MOBA.
Yeah, maybe we talked about it a good long while ago.
The Gathering as well, otherwise who knows what I'll get.
But I don't know what happened to it. It's one of the reasons that that the Manipool did that video games, Magic and Video Games episode a couple years ago now. Just spitballing a bunch. We had Cap on it.
It's currently in development by Netmarble and is a mobile-centric real-time multiplayer battle game.
That sounds like what we knew like 2 years ago.
February of 2018 is when we knew that.
Okay, so 1 year ago.
A little over a year, yeah.
Cool.
We have no concept of the passage of time.
Ninja Golden is now following. Thank you for the follow. Welcome to the pool.
Nice. Looks like there was actually like a teaser video.
Yeah, that's what I said. There was actual footage.
Hey, look at that.
Unlike the movie.
I'm actually seeing this footage. Look at that. This is crazy.
The movie was just the rights were optioned, and that was literally it. And like a director was potentially attached, and that was it.
Okay, I'm not gonna swear that I wasn't on the show the week this was talked about, but I don't recognize this footage even a little bit.
I mean, you were kind of miserable at that point in the year.
But I often do the show like really, really tired, so it's possible I've seen this before.
Yeah, but anyway, so look at that. Wizards and Netflix might possibly in the future maybe be in cahoots to possibly maybe do a thing, possibly, maybe.
There could maybe possibly be a thing. No promises.
Maybe.
And if you're really good, no promises.
Maybe. Everything is fine.
Everything is fine.
All right, so clues. What is this thing that you dropped in the show notes with no prior warning?
So, I saw this bandied about on the Twitters just a little bit this afternoon, as I was trying to leave work and head home. So, you know, there are brackets that one does for like, basketball tournaments, and you know,
Mythic Invitationals that
Mark Rosewater for some time now has had a thing on Twitter where he puts together a bracket of like things like mechanics or, I don't know, let's say flavor text. I don't know. He pits things against other things. This is like that, only you can fill out your own bracket and submit it for free to Wizards. There's some details here in this forum link here. And if you get a perfect bracket, they will send you a set of 36 foil Planeswalker cards from War of the Spark. So all you have to do is get your bracket perfect. And you'll get it. As I understand it, what's going to happen is they are going to run voting for these individual matches over the coming weeks. And that we'll have the final bracket at the end of the month. So
wait, it says this starts Monday, April 15th. Where is the bracket?
That was in a link in the Twitter, but the first one that they sent was wrong. So let me go find the correct one, and I will drop a link into the show notes for you here. So here is the original, and then here is the actual final bracket. Stand by.
Well, we don't need the original if it's wrong.
Yeah, no, I'm going to give you the final one. Stand by. Are you standing by?
No, I don't actually care, but...
Are you sitting?
I don't understand how they're like, hey, we're totally doing this. Yeah. And there's not a link to the bracket.
Chewy. Hold on. No, I'm going to call shenanigans on you right the hell now. We have been doing this for a long time. Have we not?
Yes.
What episode is this?
648.
And you have been directly involved for more than half of this show's run?
Yes, well over half, apparently.
Okay, so it surprises you somehow that there was an announcement from WotC and they didn't link to the thing that would be really, really good to know.
This is different.
Answer the question. Answer the question.
No. This isn't a thing that would be really good to know. This is the exact thing that they're talking about.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I call shenanigans. I think that you and I both know that there was not going to be a link where it should have been.
This is bad even for WotC.
At any rate, have you got the bracket up on the screen now? Is it
no,
there?
I don't have the bracket. Where did you send it?
I put it into the show notes, right, where you can grab it.
I can't look at the show notes on the screen.
Crap. Well, then I'll just put it here in the chat.
There you go.
It's in the chat. I'll text it to your phone.
What in the hell?
All right. So there's your bracket. Okay, you're looking at the bracket. So here's the idea. You need a perfect bracket. You need to figure out what all of these are going to be down to the finals and who wins all the, let's say, marbles.
What? Stark. So the question was asked, are we voting on the ones we like best or what we think everyone else likes best? No, you're trying to vote on what you think, who will make it through the rounds and rounds of voting.
Right. You're trying to make a perfect outcome, not the team you like best, which is, look, when I used to fill out basketball brackets, because I have absolutely no interest in basketball, I just picked which teams I thought had the neatest names or the best mascots. And sometimes that worked.
I was going to say, that'll get you there a non-zero percentage of the time.
It really will. But yeah, what you're doing here, I believe, is you are trying to construct a bracket that accurately reflects what the results of the polls will be.
Yes.
And the polls will be your other fellow humans who are voting on this thing. I'm going to guess on the social medias, probably through, I don't know, let's say Snapchat. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't have time to think about this many matchups.
It's a lot of matchups, man. It would be a lot of writing for me to put Chandra in the winner's circle. Although, you know, it's not going to be.
All right, then. So there you go. That's the bracket.
I thought people would want to know because, you know, if you want to give it a shot, you could win 36 foil planeswalkers.
And apparently you got to get it out there. Yeah, from now until Friday. So you've got until Friday, April 12th, because voting starts on Monday the 15th.
Yes, and because, like all things that Wizards does like this with, like, polls and surveys, you find out about it, and then it's due, like, just right now.
Okay, well, that's neat.
So I apologize for dropping that into the show at the last minute, but there you go.
Yay.
Hooray. Huzzah.
Okay, then. So, tournament stuff?
Tournament stuff.
Yay, tournament stuff. All right. So, I don't need this anymore. I don't need that anymore. I don't need this anymore. I don't need that anymore. Okay. So, first up, Channel Fireball Events has decided to give us the third quarter Magic Fest update. So, we've got Detroit. Well, I think we already had all the locations, but now we have prize pools and formats.
And formats and all that jazz.
Yeah, so...
So let's see now. We got limited and limited. We got standard, modern, limited, modern, 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 limited, team modern, legacy. There it is. There it is.
Unfortunately, it's in Atlanta, which is evil.
Oh,
yeah,
I was going to say saving the best for last, but it's in Atlanta. Yeah.
Apparently, also on the first, there was a brouhaha in the Magic community about Channel Fireball changing some prize payouts and not telling anybody. But apparently that was a mistake. They didn't change anything. So everybody calm down if you're still mad about that a week later.
As always, put down the pitchforks. Put down the pitchforks. Everything is fine.
Yeah. So, yeah, when... I always ask in the Manipool Discord servers, Monday Night Magic Channel, okay, what do we need to talk about this week? And Apple Cork always goes to Reddit and finds things, because he's a sweetheart like that. And the link he was like was Niagara, GP Niagara changed... prize pools, and it was just this angry, it was a tweet about it, and then this angry bunch of responses, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure this didn't actually happen, but the fact that he found the original tweet that brought up all the pitchforks instead of the fix leads me to believe that maybe some people don't know. So nothing happened, everything is fine, and we mean it this time. They said
Speaking of everything being fine, there is a super important detail that is buried in this article. If you scroll down below all of these events, go two subjects below that.
Yeah,
there it is. There it is. You see it right there? You see it?
Oh, this. Yeah. Yeah, we're,
Grand
there's more.
Prix deck lists going digital. Digital. Oh my God, this is so beautiful. I cannot even begin to describe how wondrous this is. Starting with Magic Fest Kansas City on May 31st,
which
online
is...
deck submissions will be mandatory.
Not on here because it's sooner.
So, this is amazing and revolutionary, and I am so happy that this is happening. Now, I know what you're thinking, but I can't actually finalize my deck list until I get there, because I got to buy this one card, and I got to find a vendor who's got it, and if he doesn't, I'm putting in a basic mountain. That's fine. They will have kiosks on site if you can't submit your list ahead of time. But the point is, we're going to need that digitally, because you know what? I cannot read a damn thing you've written here. So give it to me digitally, where we can sort things and maybe put everything alphabetical and maybe grouped, you know, with spells and creatures and lands. God, it'll be so much easier on the deck list.
Have you ever used any of their digital tools?
So much easier. I haven't.
Okay,
but
so take what Clue says with a grain of salt. He's speaking wistfully.
I'm speaking as a judge.
Yes.
That I think that this is going to be so much better. And the feedback I've seen on the social medias from judges is basically, hallelujah. Thank God we're finally doing this.
Awesome.
So, there you go.
All right. So, jumping back up above that, there's going to be video coverage at Magic Fest Washington, D.C., Dallas-Fort Worth, and Las Vegas. So... there you go.
Let me just check. Yep, none of those are Legacy, so dead to me.
Nope, two of those are Modern Horizons, and one is, well, Las Vegas is Modern Horizons Limited and Modern. DC is Modern Horizons Limited, and Dallas-Fort Worth is Modern. So, yeah.
Huh.
Sounds
like a
there's
lot
a
of
whole
modern.
Lot of other stuff here about the prize ticket structure and side events and Fanatic packages. And if you want to know all that, the link is in the show notes. Go look it up, because we don't care. I will say, though, the side event prize structure, they're flattening it out some. It's not going to be as top-heavy, so the side events are not going to be, like, super spiky.
Oh.
So that's usually good for side events. Yes, Clues?
Well, there's another thing that I wanted to mention that is super-duper exciting, but you've got to scroll, like, all the way to the bottom for me. So I keep trying to scroll your window in this window, and
the
it doesn't
Commander
work.
Experiences?
It never works. No, the casual play space.
Casual play space.
Right here. We will be designating an area of each Magic Fest for casual play.
Hey!
Players will not be asked to vacate those areas unless we absolutely need the tables for an event. Players will be given as much advance notice as possible before being asked to relocate. This will allow more players to easily find casual play opportunities at Magic Fests. This is something that Commander players have been just begging for forever.
It is a pain in the ass event. When you sit down at a GP with your buddies and you're right in the middle of a four-player complicated Commander game, and a judge walks up and goes, we need to put an event right here, like, now. And you look at them, and you're like,
yep. Bruce Richard had an article about this a couple of weeks back called, I think, Commander Nomads. Did we talk about this last week, or did I just think about it?
I don't know.
I'm going to pretend that we didn't. Bruce Richard had an article a couple of weeks back about this and how frustrating it is. And it was basically exactly what Chewy just described. You just set up, you get your game state, it's all going, and a judge comes by and is like, I need you guys to move. And you move, you like reload, you take pictures of the game state, you go reset up, and like 10 minutes later, a different judge carrying a different box of product with a different group of players is like, yeah, I need you guys to move. And it's very, very frustrating. But, I mean, look... it's a hard problem because basically Channel Fireball is making a statement here, which is we value those players, even though they are not directly paying us for an event. We're going to pay for space that they can use. And I think this is a great move by them. I really do. Thank you, Channel Fireball, for doing this.
Yeah. What this means is they're leaving the dark, dank corner over there. as the absolute last place that we're going to put an event. So let's give that to the casual players. I mean, let's be honest. That's what they're doing. They're like, where is the place that we don't want to put an event? Over there? Okay, that'll be the casual area.
But we're still renting tables and chairs to go in that area.
Well,
which
yeah.
Which does cost money.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the entire section that's already there and already paid for, they're going to designate one point as the absolute last place they want to put events, and they're cordoning that off. I mean, you're not going to get prime space right in front of the judge station, for instance. Like,
certainly not.
You're not. It's going to be the most out of the way as far as running tournaments section, but casual players don't care as long as they get a section. So, and that's really cool that they're actually going to bother taking the time to do that. And I'm sure we're going to hear at some event in the future that judges ran everybody out of the designated casual play space because they forget that it's not guaranteed. But whatever.
All they're saying is that this is the last place that we'll steal for tables.
Exactly.
And not, that is not that we won't, awesome. Just the last one.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm proud of them for that. Because I don't go to events anyway, and when I do, I'm walking around with a digital recorder. But even if I didn't, I'd probably be not playing Magic with people I don't know. But still, if I were to, that would be awesome. All right. So the last bit of news is, of course, where's this? Cleveland. Star City Games open in the Cleveland. It was Modern.
It was.
And let's check out the metagame breakdown for day two at the Modern Open. How many people were in the Modern Open?
We had 753 players for the Modern Open in Cleveland.
Not bad. Day two had 14 copies of the Is It Phoenix deck in day two. And then it drops off sharply with 5 each of Humans, Amulet Titan, and Monogreen Tron. 4 Grixis Death Shadow. 3 Golgari Midrange, Azorius Control, Jund, and Dredge. And then a bunch of 2s and 1s.
Yep, including Burn.
But still 14. That's still a large chunk of the meta.
It is.
I wonder how many were in day one. Like, I wonder if this is a representative percentage.
There were nearly 3 times as many Is It Phoenix decks as any other deck.
All right, let's go see what happened here. Sam Lawrence won playing Amulet Titan. Esper Control was in second place by Zach Allen. Matthew Dilks in third was also playing Amulet Titan. There's Is It Phoenix in fourth with James...
Bennett.
How do you say his last name?
Manges?
Liam Daly in 5th place with Humans, Drake Sasser in 6th with More Is It Phoenix, Alex Bestecki in 7th playing 4 color Death Shadow, and Noah Strassler in 8th with a Grixis Death Shadow. The rest of the top whatever here, we've got some Tron, another Phoenix, Golgari Midrange, Dredge, Infect, More Phoenix, Humans, Titan, More Phoenix, Blue Eye Control, Humans, Valakut Breach. Whoa. More Phoenix. Monogreen Tron, Dredge, Hardened Scales, 2 of those. More Phoenix. Some Spirits. More Golgari, Monogreen Tron, More Phoenix. Good lord. How far does this go? Okay, this is all the way to
68th place.
Yeah, let's just stop there.
Burn was in 45th.
Oh, good.
As foretold in 48th.
Ooh, Bant Vanifar was in 34th. Okay, what the hell is Rakdos Prison? Hang on, I gotta look at that.
It sounds very violent.
Chalice, Ensnaring Bridge, Blood Moon, some Rituals, Collective Brutality, Chandra.
Rabble.
Rabble Master Warboss. Okay, Hazoret, Pia and Kirin, there we go. Yeah, okay. These all make sense now that I'm looking at it. Anything else? Yeah, that's enough. Okay. So that's the Modern Open in Cleveland.
You want to keep the modern train rolling and go to the modern classic?
Yeah, the modern classic had how many?
The modern classic had 279 players.
There we go.
I guess no surprise that the classic that was the format of the main event had quite a few players in it. So
it's true, with Tariq Patel taking it home with Is It Phoenix?
Ban it. I don't really actually care that you banned it. I'm just saying that I'm sure someone out there is saying that.
This is the thing that I keep saying. You know how lots of people are always like, ban something. And most of the time, they're probably wrong.
Unban something.
This one is, as I've said before, this one could potentially be a problem if the metagame doesn't start shifting to accommodate it a little bit better. Last week,
right, it but was a little at least bit better. At least, while it is overrepresented in the metagame as a whole, it's not overrepresented in, say, the top eight. It's not like when you had, like, Miracles, Dredge. So.
Yeah, that was pretty neat. And by neat, I mean awful. 10th Tech Priest just said, if only someone had previewed a two-mana common solution to Phoenix. I mean, do you really think that Steady Aim is going to see play in Modern?
I have no idea.
That was me, by the way. We previewed that. Yay. Alan Swan in second place is running the Azorius Spirits deck. Dylan Gellis, or possibly Jealous, but not, you know, Green with Envy kind of Jealous, is running Is It Ascension. What is
it
that?
It is. Wait, that's a completely different game.
Oh, Pyromancer Ascension. Ascension. I remember that card!
I was trying to make an Ascension joke.
So it's essentially is it Phoenix made? Deck, but with Pyromancer Ascension thrown in. Alright. I got it. That's cool. Andrew... There's an extra E there. That's not how I would pronounce it. So, Kenneworth? Maybe? Is playing Mono Green Tron in fourth place. Douglas Wilson in fifth has Golgari Midrange. Sean Mogulgard in sixth has the Esper Control deck running. Steven Dykeman in seventh is on Azorius Control. And Steven Propson in eighth is on Titan Shift. Rest of the top 16 humans. Non-Affinity. Two more Phoenix. Two Counters Company. Some Burn. Nope, nothing from Clues. And then Eldrazi Tron in 16th.
I'm sorry, did you say burn?
I did.
Excellent.
Oh, 10th Tech Priest was talking about Forced Landing. Oh, because Forced Landing puts it on the bottom of the library, not in the Graveyard or Exile. Got it.
Hmm.
There you go. There's your Modern Classic. I didn't close it. And then the Standard Classic, there were 100, I forget how many.
125 players for Standard.
Right. And Zachary Keane, I think is how you say his name, is playing Selesnya Tokens to take it all down. Daniel Santo here in second, and Brad Carpenter in third are both on the Mono Red Aggro deck.
I like it.
Yeah, you do. Evan Whitehouse in fourth is on Simic Nexus.
I don't like that nearly as much.
It's true. Forrest Camperman is running Sultai Midrange in fifth.
Still better than sixth.
Daniel Dwan, or Dwan, I'm going to go with Dwan because that's awesome, is running Esper Control in sixth.
Don't like sixth at all.
Okay. Pete Vital is running Simic Nexus in seventh. Clues hates it so much he can't even speak.
Yeah, I mean, I already covered how I felt about Simic Nexus back in fourth place.
And then Yusef Bridges took eighth place with Teamer Control.
Started strong, ended poor.
The rest of the top 16, we've got Azorius Aggro, Teamer Control, Is It Phoenix, and Standard.
It is.
Naya Aggro, Esper Control, Azorius Aggro, Bant Climb.
Bant Climb?
Yeah. And then Gruul Midrange.
Bant Climb. Oh, Hadana's Climb.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
So there you go. That's your standard classic. And it looks like we are done with stuff to talk about.
It would certainly appear that way. It feels like we've run through everything in the show notes. I think that's the show, everybody. A show
sure
about
sounds
magic.
Like it. Or possibly looks like it. Or maybe smells like it.
I was gonna say, depends. Depends on how you consume this show. Do you just listen to it? Do you watch it? Do you sniff your screen? Yeah, I got nothing to follow that up. I'm sorry.
Thank goodness, because that would following that up with anything would just be weird. So yeah, let's just
as if that part weren't weird. Okay, so we wrap it up. Should I just segue to the wrap ups?
Aw, Gothic threw 50 bits for
nice.
No reason. There's a heart. He threw 50 heart bits.
It pulsates.
It does.
Irregularly.
So yeah, sure. Huh. Let's wrap it up.
All right. So on behalf of our third partner in crime, Squee, who is not with us, he has been away traveling to the other side of the world. He should be back with us next week. If you want to wish him well in his travels, you can find him on the Twitters. He is Squee Goblin Nabob. There is no I in Goblin because it got lost in customs, let's say. But he'll be back. So we look forward to his return. Safe travel, Squee. I hope you had a real good time on your trip. But we missed you. We need you back now.
Hurry
up. The world needs Squee back here for this show. If you want to get more of me, you can find me on the Twitters. I am at LockLuze, spelled just like it is in the show notes. We do have show notes. I don't know if you know that. Yeah, I don't have anything witty there either. Look, it's been a real long day. I've run out of wit. I think I ran out of wit sometime during the beginning odds and ends, I think. I don't think I have anything interesting going on because we just came from PAX like last week. So, yeah, it's just the end of the semester is barreling towards us. So good luck to everybody who's got finals coming up in a few weeks. Also, don't forget April 15th is like right around the corner. If you haven't done your taxes yet, you should do your taxes. Like, seriously, get on that. And I think that's it for life advice. Play red. It's probably a good idea. If at all possible, make sure your mana base is nothing but mountains. That will always, always be the correct answer. Oh, and get more sleep. I can tell. I can hear it. You could use more sleep. Over to you, Chewie.
Oh, I thought you were talking to me. I'm like, I know. I didn't. So yesterday, I worked my ass off to get...
All your troubles seemed so far away?
No. Different yesterday.
Okay.
It was the Boyz II Men version, though, for the record, is my favorite of those.
Oh, I believe in yesterday.
But I forgot what I was saying, because now I've got
yesterday
the
Boyz II
Men version running through my head.
I have both running through my head, and it's a weird mashup, let me tell you.
Wait, both what?
The Boyz II Men version and the Beatles song.
Oh, okay, the Beatles original. Because, like, everybody... I think every R&B group in the 90s had to cover Yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, like... I'm pretty sure all of them. All of them. But anyway,
Yesterday.
Completely sidetracked. Yeah, yesterday I worked my ass off to get... The podcast put together to get the YouTube video for the preview episode all put together. It took all night and a good chunk of the day ahead of that. And then today I did all the reveal stuff and I was like, I'm done until Monday Night Magic. And I didn't do any more work today. It was awesome. And then tomorrow at like 1 o'clock Eastern time, I think, hopefully, I will be starting my grand Rise of Shadows pack opening and card discussion stream, as I do with every new set of Hearthstone. So, hey, if you're listening to this on the day it released, then it's today, twitch.tv/themanapool. Come hang out. Yay. It's going to be exhausting.
But in a good way.
In a good way, yeah. I have to figure out what to drink to keep my throat from tearing itself out, because, like, I've got 115 packs or so to open, I think. It's going to be...
I recommend tea with some honey in it.
I don't have tea or honey, so that's not going to fly.
Well, you've got until tomorrow. Get yourself some tea and some honey.
Yeah, I'm not leaving the house. So...
get someone you know to bring you tea.
I don't have friends.
Okay. Find some crushed up leaves and kidnap some bees.
On it!
Knock on your neighbor's door. You do have neighbors, right? Ask if you can borrow some tea and honey.
Oddly enough, the neighbors upstairs have not made their presence known during this entire podcast, which...
Are they okay?
That they're dead.
Should you send somebody up there?
I would, but I don't have friends.
I kind of meant, you know, maybe the authorities, but okay, sure.
Oh, gotcha. Anyway, so, yeah, that's tomorrow's plan. And then we're going to play Overwatch that night, because that's what we do on Tuesday nights. Which is another reason that Squee needs to get
Tuesday
back.
Tuesday Night Magic.
Duet?
Nothing, I was making a joke. It was fine.
Oh, okay.
Everything is fine.
Everything is fine. Steve Toast just subbed for 6 months. Thank you very much. Nice. Welcome back to the pool. Wait, are you Steve Toast on the bus, or are you a separate Steve entirely? Get back to us. Okay, so... what was I? I'm trying to sign off here. Right. You can find all of the stuff that I do all over the place. I'm on Twitter at the Manapool. I live there. You should totally join the Manapool Discord server. If you're watching this or listening to this anywhere, the link to that is in the show notes. If you're on Twitch, it's down in the panels. If you're on YouTube, it's down in the description. If you're listening to this, it's in the show notes. Join the Manapool Discord server. We have a lot of fun, especially in preview season, where all kinds of just nonsense goes on. It's great. Oh, this is different Steve, same bus. Got it. I see what you did there.
Respect.
The YouTube channel is youtube.com/themanapool, where it's been a lot of Hearthstone lately, because when the new set drops tomorrow, the rotation happens. So all of the YouTube footage that I've had, I wanted to get up on YouTube before rotation happened and all of that became obsolete. So that's why there's been so much Hearthstone on the YouTube channel. Tomorrow this goes up on YouTube. And then my rank 5 final boss video goes up. And then it'll be new stuff, Super Smash Brothers and Plague Inc. and whatnot, and more Hearthstone after that. So, yay. But, yeah, I'm making a push for Legend, which is the Hearthstone. In Magic, it's Mythic and Constructed. I'm making a push to get Legend in Hearthstone this month. And I'm already at rank 5, and every 5 levels there's a floor, so you can't drop further. So I made it to the highest floor you can get before the new set drops, so I can play stupid decks that don't work and not drop down and not have ladder anxiety. It'll be great. But I really want to try to hit Legend this month, because I never have. Because I think I have enough skill and knowledge of the metagame and enough of a collection to build whatever decks work, for the most part, to be able to make it. I just haven't allocated enough time, which is why I've been streaming Hearthstone this week, or last week. I guess last week now, so... If you'd like to join me in my quest for Mythic, not Mythic, that's Magic. If you'd like to join me in my quest for Legend, you should come hang out on twitch.tv/themanapool, which is also where we stream both Monday Night Magic and the Manapool podcast. Monday Night Magic on Monday nights between 8:30 and 9 or so p.m. Eastern time, and the Manapool somewhere between 8 and 8:45 Eastern time, Thursday nights. But anyway... That's where you can find all of the stuff. If you want to help support what I do with this frankly ridiculous amount of content creation, I have one YouTube video going up every day, 2 on podcast days, and actually 2 yesterday, too, just because. Plus, like 5 streams a week and the 2 podcasts. All of this is me doing all the behind the scenes work. So if you want to help support that and help a brother keep the lights on so he can keep making all this content for you, it is an easy thing to do. You can go to patreon.com/themanapool. You all right, Cleese? He's losing it about something, and I don't know what.
I'm fine. I just saw a thing. I didn't want to. No, just keep going. Keep going.
He'll be all right.
Everything is fine.
Everything is fine. So you go to patreon.com/themanapool and become a lifeguard. And there are several tiers of lifeguards. The uncommon lifeguards get early access to YouTube videos and Manipool episodes. The rare lifeguards get early access stuff. They get the odds and ends, all the stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Manipool. That's uncensored and unfiltered. And it's just us being dorks, really. And the mythic lifeguards get the early access, the odds and ends, and the sponsorship shout-out on both podcasts. And on all the end screens for all the YouTube channels. So now I'd like to thank our mythic lifeguards, Kim Ho, Andrew Hunt, Al, Lance Delicious, Timur Alizharyu. I gotta ask him if I can start calling him Bonsai Tree, because that's his handle. Connor Kennedy, John Morris, Alex Gonzalez, Jeff Spencer, Stuart Slaw, PJ McMullen, Sophia Bretain, Casey, Fayan Says, Danny Liao, Jason Doan, Cody Buckowing, Jake Jansons, Jason Kaus, Brian DeLucci, Stark Maximum, Keith Moody, John Parker, Violet Moon, Aleph Cat, Dan Holm, Bartle, Mike Millerburn, and the Beast Father, Aaron Goodwine. Oh, Lord.
In a world.
And on the Beast Father, something got caught. Hang on. Clues, fill time, quick.
Jeez. Other things.
Okay, thanks, Clues.
Okay, great. Well, I did not expect to be put on spot like that. Odds and
he just muted.
I did?
Oh, okay,
I didn't know
right.
Such thing. I'm right here.
Okay, weird. So, this has been Monday Night Magic number 648. Thank you all so very much for joining us. And go play some magic.